This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I just had this revelation that has nothing to do with sports, but I was on the internet prepping for the show, and I always check a couple of different pop culture sites just to see what is happening in the world outside sports. And it dawned on me, I've never seen a Hallmark Christmas movie. I don't know what that says about me. When I was younger, I used to think that the world was all sunshine and roses and everything worked out the way it would at the end of a romantic comedy. But I no longer believe that because that's not real life. So I'm not sure if I will ever see a Hallmark Christmas movie. But I'm sure they're wonderful. If there was snow in my Hallmark Christmas movie, I wouldn't mind playing a role in one, because they seem, as I say, very sunshine and roses and life is wonderful and it always works out in the end. So who doesn't like that kind of an escape? So I might like to play a role in a Hallmark Christmas movie, but I don't know that I will start watching now. I prefer Sound of Music. Wizard of Oz was on TV last weekend. It's one of the first movies my mom ever let me watch. And to me, it's not a Christmas movie, of course, but I remember that we got to watch Wizard of Oz and Sound of Music around Christmas for the first time. I am so tempted to do a show. We're going to talk about sports, of course, but to ask you your favorite Christmas movie. But
it's time to have some fun.
Maybe we'll save that for next week, just because we still have a few days left before Christmas. In fact, 10 days until Mom arrives at my home. I'm very excited. And then she will be with me for 12 days.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Roger Goodell, for interrupting my Christmas and my New Year's with your week 16 and week 17. It's fine. Mom knows it's the end of the NFL regular season around the holidays. And so whether I'm in Houston or she's with me, like it's my turn to host this year, she always knows that I have to work on Sundays. And then obviously we'll do the show on Sunday night. So no matter what, I will be with you on the Sunday nights into Monday. We have a crisis in studio right now. I'm hoping that Dave can fix it. I swear I didn't do anything. All I did was slide the computer screen 2 inches to the right, and it went completely dead. But, it just came back on. Don't touch it. No, wait, hold on. Oh, you did it. High five.
Woo! You know, you shake it off.
No, I wasn't going to be able to do my entire show looking at my phone. It would die long before I got through the next 4 hours. Thank you, Dave. So don't touch it, right? I can't even change the angle. Dave's pulling out panels in the CBS Sports Radio studio. If you watch any of our shows that are on TV or that are broadcast live on the web, you might think, oh, this studio, it's so cool. It looks like a place I'd like to visit. Well, not if you actually want access to the internet. It's not. You definitely do not want to visit. You also don't want to visit if you want a comfortable chair. We play musical chairs in here because there's multiple chairs that are broken. And if you sit in one, there's a chance that you could either sink rapidly or that you could hurt your tailbone. Okay. Should we talk about sports then? I'm so tempted, Dave. I know you just did all that work just to touch it with one finger and see what happens. He won't let me. He just gave me the waggle finger. Like, don't you dare. So, okay. It's going to bother me for the next 4 hours that it's at a weird angle. I really can't just try to.
All right. We'll out.
Yeah, but what happens if it disappears again? Then what?
I might throw it out a window.
That's a great idea. We used to have windows in here. In fact, if you bore a hole in this backdrop behind us, there are, in fact, windows out there. It's an outside wall. And I remember it felt like we were trapped when they took away our windows to make this studio set. I think originally it was for Doug Gottlieb's show, and then they changed it over, of course, to what is now Tiki and Tierney, and we were depressed. I felt like it was, it was no longer as much fun to come to work because I really enjoyed having the windows that looked out to Manhattan. We could always tell what the weather was like. I don't know how we got on that tangent. Oh, we're going to throw the computer out the window. Yes. I have zero culpability here, so don't be looking at me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. He did not do it because I've instructed him to, boss. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. I suppose it can be. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Now, I feel bad. You should strike that from the record. I didn't tell anyone to throw a computer out the window. But you know what, Dave? If you did, we would have to get our story straight. And we would just present a united front. Because, you know, snitches get stitches. No, that's dumb. No, they don't. Huh. Show has started out on some kind of weird wild hairs. Speaking of wild, that's what's happening at the MLB winter meetings. We're going to talk with Bob Nightingale of USA Today. He is in San Diego, and he will join us in 30 minutes here on CBS Sports Radio. Anthony Rendon, the latest domino to drop. I'm just going to give you some facts. F-A-X. We like to call them nerd alerts around here. It's the same exact contract as Rendon's former team, the Nationals, gave Steven Strasburg. So I suppose if this is what it took to get Rendon, there wasn't much chance. There maybe was a small chance, but not a humongous chance that he was returning to the Nationals. 7 years, $245 million. With a full no-trade clause, and this is refreshing, no opt-out. Remember, the Gerrit Cole has an opt-out after 5 years, although I still fail to see any reason why Gerrit Cole would opt out. Unless he's gone 5 years in a row with five consecutive Cy Youngs, he hasn't lost in 2.5 years, there is absolutely no reason that you would ever opt out of a contract that pays you $36 million a year. As for the Angels, they now have two of the top three, but the top two hitters. Those contracts are the most expensive for sluggers in Major League Baseball. These two out of the top three overall. So Gerrit Cole is number one. With his, I forgot the number now, $324 million. It's a repressed memory. Mike Trout makes a smidge below what Gerrit Cole will make. So Cole is making $36 million a year. Trout is making $35.5 million a year. And he tweeted a pair of eyeballs in response to the Anthony Rendon news. Those eyeballs are very handy. They can mean a lot of different things. They're up for interpretation. And then Rendon is now making $35 million a year, which is, of course, the same as Steven Strasburg. But in terms of sluggers, the Angels have the most expensive hitters in the game. You know what? This thought struck me. And who really knows what was important? Just side note, Scott Boras also represents Anthony Rendon. He is filthy rich. OMG. So Scott Boras, who represents Steven Strasburg, Anthony Rendon, and Gerrit Cole, not to mention Bryce Harper. Poor Bryce Harper. He's fallen so far down the list now. You know, that contract, not all that impressive anymore, except for the 13 years. Yikes. We were having this mini discussion last night about whether or not the Steven Strasburg contract set the market for Gerrit Cole. And I don't really think I believe that. I mean, they've got the same agent. So, yes, of course, there are ties there. But I kind of felt like the Yankees were going above. They were going above and beyond because they wanted to keep him away from the Dodgers. So they were willing to pay whatever it took. And I kind of felt like once they were the only team out there, there was no need for them to go so hog wild. But, of course, they did. They wanted to ensure that he wouldn't that he wouldn't decide to stay in Southern California. But then I was just realizing that Mike Trout makes $35.5 million. I'm wondering if that's actually what they were looking at. So if you want to have the highest average annual salary in Major League Baseball, regardless of whether it's a hitter or a pitcher, Gerrit Cole's got that now. Because Mike Trout is slotted in at $35.5 million per year. Anthony Rendon at $35 million, but Gerrit Cole trumps them both. Also, I wondered if the Angels have some kind of a deal with Mike Trout where no one can make more money per year than he does, or they're not willing to pay a free agent more than what they're paying their own guy. And still, we've only seen Mike Trout on the postseason stage once in his very decorated career. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I moved it. I spun it a little bit, and the computer still has a picture on it. So I'm being very careful in here. No strong breezes.
And
do you know when I posted the link to our daily podcast, our Hump Show podcast on Wednesday, I included as part of the teases, so Ask Amy Anything, the Monopoly money for Gerrit Cole, my reaction that I included, why Jerry Jones cracks me up. I don't know if that was incentive for many people to listen to the podcast or download it, but I did include it. Rendon is coming off a career year. His first All-Star bid, though he did not play in the game, if I remember correctly, he was injured. 126 RBI to lead the majors. He had career highs in both batting average and home runs. So he hit 319 and he had 34 dingers. But no bigger home runs in the regular season than the two he had in the World Series, both Game 6 and 7. You remember he's a Houston native, and so for him to be part of the Nationals and going into Houston and winning all those games they did at Minute Maid Park, pretty sweet for him. And during the postseason, he hit 328, so he actually boosted his average. He had 3 home runs and 15 RBI. And so he was a major reason why the Nationals not only recovered from the deep hole that they dug for themselves in May of last season. And you remember, they had to steadily play their best baseball and really get into playoff mode long before we hit October. But then for him to, and he turned himself into an MVP candidate, and then for him to continue that forward into the playoffs and his impeccable timing between he and Howie Kendrick, my goodness. The Nats, now you may remember this part, the Nats reportedly offered him the 7 years, so same as what he got from the Angels, but, I mean, only $210 million. It's so cheap. It's very cheap of the Nationals. Are you kidding me? $210 million, only $30 million a year. Who can live on that? There, I need some eyeball emojis just to indicate my, well, do we have an eye roll emoji? You know what? I actually think I use the eyeball emoji as well. I think I use the eye roll emoji. So while I'm talking to you, I'm going to tweet. It's one of my favorite emojis. I send it to my mom all the time. I'm going to tweet what I think might be the eye roll emoji, and you guys check it out and tell me if this is the one. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, for things like eye roll emojis and my questions about Hallmark Christmas movies. Yeah. And so again, coming up in about 20 minutes now, we'll head to San Diego and we'll talk to Bob Nightingale. I don't know if that is the eye roll emoji. I need one that has motion, like the actual eye roll taking place. But I suppose that would be more like a GIF. I don't really know. It's a good question. I love emojis for sure, but I wouldn't call myself an emoji expert. So again, the Nationals offered him $30 million a year, reportedly. That came from the Washington Post going back to the end of the regular season. But he decided to test the free agent market, and it sounds like he made himself some more money. And so he gets the same deal as Steven Strasburg. Producer Chris, if you wouldn't mind retweeting Trey Turner. I don't know if you guys saw this video. He posted a video right after he heard the news of Rendon going to the Angels. And it's him pulling open a bottom drawer where it appears to be all this Nationals World Series paraphernalia, a lot of sweatshirts and t-shirts. And one of them, I didn't even know these existed. One of them said, Anthony Rendon is my favorite player, with Rendon's mug on it. Maybe that was his way of trying to convince Rendon to stay put. And you have to see what Trey Turner did with that shirt once he found out the Rendon news. Rendon news. And so you can find that on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. And we also have our Facebook page up and ready for you. We'll get some reaction from former Mets general manager Steve Phillips, a longtime executive in baseball, but also a longtime radio analyst about the Angels. So this is like instant analysis. So that's coming up. And Aaron Boone speaks about the Gerrit Cole deal and bringing Gerrit Cole to the Yankees. So you can find us on Twitter, on Facebook. We're just getting started. I still have coffee, so you know I'm good to go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Great two again. Swing and a miss. Got him on the slider. Took him 10 pitches, but he gets his man. 15 strikeouts for Cole. That's a new Astros postseason record.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On the Nationals Radio Network, wasn't that long ago, actually. In fact, 2 months ago, we still had not crowned the World Series champ, a magical run for the Nationals, and now we're getting a piece and a picture of what they will look like moving forward as they defend their title in 2020. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Again, Anthony Rendon, 7 years, $245 million. Same exact contract as Steven Strasburg, which is interesting for an Anthony Rendon who played 146 games this season, is what I read. To get the same as a Strasburg, though we do know what it means when you have a stopper in your pitching rotation, a stopper in your starting rotation. It sounds funny, but you know exactly what I mean. Someone that you can count on to go out there and give you a chance to win every single time he steps on the mound. I just think that the optics are fascinating. The way that it's the same exact contract, but it's two former teammates who are now on opposite sides of the country. And also the fact that you've got these steps here. So Rendon, $35 million per year, the same as Strasburg. Trout, though, still the king of the Angels with $35.5 million per year. I wonder if that was a consideration for the Angels in making sure that their multi-time MVP is still the highest paid player on their team and the highest paid hitter in baseball. And then, of course, you've got Gerrit Cole, who's a step up from that at $36 million per year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'll ask you your reaction, but we don't have to make it the primary focus of the show like we did this time last night. Man, I went back through your Facebook posts and your tweets. So first of all, we had hundreds of Facebook posts in reaction to Gerrit Cole's Monopoly money. Okay, so in the last 24 hours, you have posted hundreds of times on our Facebook page in reaction. And I would say the common words were insane, ludicrous, although some of you can't spell, crazy. There were other words that I had to delete off the Facebook page, but essentially the fact that it was just so otherworldly. And then there's this whole theme about contracts like this and teams like the Yankees, although you got to throw the Angels in the equation too, and why not the Nationals? They're paying Steven Strasburg $245 million. The Phillies are paying Bryce Harper exorbitant amounts of money. Manny Machado to the Padres. So there are teams out there who can afford one of these guys, if not multiple, top flight free agents. And the theme is that many of you believe that it's ruining the competitive nature of baseball. Now, I would just remind you again, the Houston Astros had Gerrit Cole and did not win the World Series. The Angels made Mike Trout the highest paid player for a full year, and they didn't even make the playoffs. It's no guarantee But a lot of you balk at the idea that it's the same teams who are paying these free agents over and over. And then some of you point to small market teams that are not willing to pay those kinds of salaries. The Pirates, the Indians. I mean, there are others. So I would agree with that. However, that is their choice. It is their choice. It's the owner's choice not to spend that type of money. You can't fault a team for doing what is allowable under baseball system and rules if they want to win. You also could understand maybe the perspective of an owner. Although most owners are billionaires. I don't suppose all of them. That might not be fair to say. But you also have to respect an owner who isn't willing to go out there and shell out the fattest contract when all of that money is guaranteed. So that was a theme. But then one thing that you guys keep saying to me is that no one is worth this kind of money. And I actually wrote back to a couple of you on Facebook to say, why not? Why not? We live in the United States of America. We're built on a capitalist system. It's what makes us one of the greatest countries in the world. It's what keeps us free, is that people can and do choose a career and make money off of it. Trust me, having spent a lot of time in Cuba, a communist country, over the last 4 years, we're in a good spot here in the U.S. when it comes to our economy and the opportunities it affords us. Why can't Gerrit Cole capitalize on a talent in the prime of his career for the next few years? And who are you to say what someone is worth? Let me guess. If someone offered you that kind of money to do your job, you would say no, right? Just on principle? Please. I just did the eye roll. Knock it off. We don't get to decide what someone else is worth. Now, inherently, your worth is not based on your salary. At least, that's my opinion. Your worth is based on your impact to your family, to your friends, the good that you do in the world. That's how I measure worth. So I grew up relatively poor, and I worked in radio. I've worked in radio for now 20 plus years. Radio pays nada. Very little, nada. So if money mattered to me, I would have gotten out of this career a long time ago. I also have an accounting degree. And my entire adult life, I have worked at least two jobs, sometimes three. I started working when I was 12. I've worked every year since I was 12 years old. My mom was a single mom. We never had a lot of money. My grandparents bailed her out a bunch when she couldn't afford it. So to me, money's not important. I appreciate that I can pay my bills. I appreciate that my boss just gave me a new contract. But money doesn't make the world go round in my world. Okay, so I get it. We all have different priorities. But I live paycheck to paycheck, and I'm fine with that. Save a little money when I can, spend it on traveling, give as much away as I possibly can. So money is not a priority for me. But still, if it were, why is it up to you to tell me what I'm worth? An employee is worth whatever an employer is willing to pay him or her. It's not your money. What do you care? You know what it sounds like? You're jealous. I mean, why is Gerrit Cole not allowed to capitalize on all of his hard work and on a sport that makes billions of dollars in TV and advertising rights? You know that that's where the owners make most of their money, right? Whatever businesses they've done previously or maybe are still involved in. Owners are not making money, the majority of their money, off the ticket prices they're charging you or on concessions. It takes a lot of money to operate a stadium and to operate a franchise. They have massive overhead costs. They're not making the majority of their money on ticket fares and ticket and gate revenue. They're making the majority of their money off of the advertising and the broadcast deals that they've worked out, that Major League Baseball has worked out with various TV networks. You may have seen in the recent past some of the negotiations that have been done for the NBA and for the NFL. I mean, you want to talk about monopoly money. Those leagues make billions, hundreds of billions of dollars on selling their TV rights and their advertising. So why shouldn't Gerrit Cole have some of that? I'd rather Gerrit Cole have it than an owner who's already got billions. I'd rather the athletes have it than the owners just be sitting on it. Anyway, if you want to weigh in, you certainly can. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. Now, coming up, we're going to head to San Diego. We'll get the latest from Bob Nightingale, who's always kind enough to join us during these winter or summer meetings, spring meetings. He's got the inside scoop. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Ranky delivers. Swinging a long drive to left. Way back, forget about it. It is going, going, and long gone into the Crawford boxes, and the Nationals are on the board. Anthony Rendon has his second home run in the World Series. It's now the Astros 2 and the Nationals 1 as Anthony Rendon delivers a big hit here in the seventh inning.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Only a handful of hitters who've ever homered in Game 6 and 7 of the World Series. You can count them on one hand, but Anthony Rendon did just that. And on the heels of a career regular season in which he had his highest batting average ever, the most home runs in a season, his 126 RBI led the majors. He ends up with the same contract as his former teammate, Steven Strasburg. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Does this make the Angels a World Series contender? Here's former baseball general manager Steve Phillips.
This is great, and they have a dynamic offense, and you think about Trout and Rendon together in a lineup, and if Upton could be healthy, and you start thinking about what they could be, but if they don't have pitchers, they're still, you know, arguably, you know, a third-place team in that division. I suspect that they're going to make a play for Ryu, Keuchel, or Bumgarner, or maybe they trade for Corey Kluber. If they get one of those guys, and they have one of them with Shohei Ohtani and Andrew Heaney's 3 and Dylan Bundy's 4 and Griffin Canning's 5, they're still not a playoff team. And then it comes down to, do you think that Hansel Robles is a legitimate first division closer? Look, I love it, you know, that we've got another team engaged. We've got big-time money flying around. It does mean to me that if the Angels are really serious, they can't possibly be done.
So Steve Phillips on Sirius XM MLB Radio saying he doesn't think the Angels have made enough progress, though it is nice to have an Anthony Rendon around Mike Trout in the lineup. So, similar to any hitters, really, Aaron Judge having protection in the Yankees lineup. If you think about the Astros and the number of guys they can stack in their lineup, they put pressure on you from top to bottom. If you have protection for your best hitters, meaning pitchers can't nibble at the corners or pitch around your best guys, because if you walk Mike Trout, you've got Anthony Rendon behind him, or vice versa. It makes a lineup that much more difficult to face. Interestingly enough, I didn't realize this until I was reading about it on Wednesday. The Angels actually have more money underneath the luxury tax threshold. So it's not a salary cap, but if you go past this particular amount of money with your annual payroll, then you have to pay hefty taxes. Even in signing Rendon, this is why they made a push for Gerrit Cole and in addition Rendon, though Rendon became their top priority once they missed out on Cole, obviously. But they still have money they can spend on a pitcher. But who is it? Madison Bumgarner is a name that the Dodgers have kind of thrown around or has been connected with the Dodgers. There aren't any other huge names like these dominoes that we've seen drop unless something happens in a trade. Louise says on our Facebook page, "Hi, Amy, frustrated Dodger fan here today, but at the same time, I can see why management won't pay that much for one player, although Cole could have helped them get over the hump. What do you think?" Yeah, he could have, but there's no guarantee. I don't, and it depends on what happens with Hyunjin Ryu. That's another name that's been thrown about there as someone who could end up with the Angels. So moving cross town, so to speak, from the Dodgers. Their pitching is not bad. If they shore up their bullpen, to me, the Dodgers' bullpen has always been, well, not always, but the last couple of years has been an issue. I think their starting rotation was really good last year. But it depends on whether or not they keep Ryu. And if they were willing to bid a ton of money for Gerrit Cole, then maybe they can spare some of that money for the guy that nearly won a Cy Young this season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. We're still hoping to connect with Bob Nightingale in San Diego. We've tried, but he's really busy, and so I kind of understand. It is frustrating, though, for producer Chris, who sets up these interviews and then can't get a hold of our guests. So we're hoping that it still comes through. But you got to have a plan, Stan. So 855-212-4227. Rob Manfred, commissioner of Major League Baseball, gave the media and fans an update on this Astros sign-stealing investigation. And I am stunned at the depth of their probe and how extensive it has become.
This is probably the most thorough investigation that the commissioner's office has ever undertaken. I think we've interviewed already nearly 60 witnesses, 76,000 emails, whole additional trove of instant messages. That review has caused us to conclude that we have to do some follow-up interviewing. It is my hope to conclude the investigation just as promptly as possible, but it's really hard to predict how long something like that is going to take. At this point in the investigation, it would be wholly inappropriate for me to speculate about, you know, what types of discipline might be in play. I'm going to get all the facts in front of me and, you know, make a decision as promptly as possible on discipline. And obviously you all will know about it as soon as it happens.
Commissioner of Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred. They've interviewed 60 witnesses. Just out of curiosity, do you think that includes new Mets manager Carlos Beltran, who was a member of the Houston Astros when they're accused of sign stealings with electronics and then also with the trash cans? It's very creative. I don't actually like trash cans. I certainly wouldn't touch one without gloves on if I didn't have to. And I won't let my dog sniff them either because I think it's gross. And so I can't even imagine using a trash can to communicate signs, but very creative. That was the implication, and you can hear it on some of the videos that are on the internet. But also, would you like to be the person who read 76,000 emails? Oh, that sounds boring. But you can't leave any stone or piece of paper or email unturned. Instant messages, too. All those people thought they were DMing. And they were getting away with it. Oh, maybe they were Snapchatting. Because, you know, they say in Snapchat it disappears your messages. No, that's not actually true. I don't know how many of you snap. I have some friends, some younger and some my age, who prefer Snapchat over actual texting, which is annoying to me. Because why do I want to open up the app when I can just use your phone number? Anyway, I have this one friend who saves all of them. Did you know there's an option in Snapchat where you can save all of the messages? Oh my gosh, I'm trying to delete them. There's so many, it's annoying. She's got to the point now where she'll see one of my snaps. Because I do send people snaps of, you know, photos, videos. In fact, this morning it was snowing really hard in my neighborhood when Penny and I were walking. And my dog was tearing around like it was, you know, it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. She likes bread. And she was covered in snow. She looked like the abominable snow dog. And so I was taking videos of the snow and the dog. And anyway, this friend of mine, she will now see the snap and then send me a text. I know you don't like it when we text using Snapchat. No, it's actually annoying. But I tell you what, I've got friends. You can text them all day long. They won't respond. But if you send a snap, right away. Jimmy is listening in Manhattan. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy. I love your show.
Thank you.
Just trying to say about the Yankees with Gerrit Cole.
Mm-hmm.
I think he hit the top of the line, and we need one more pitcher. And with Aaron Judge healthy and Stanton healthy, it's over with.
No, it's not. Gerrit Cole was on the Astros, and they didn't win the World Series.
Understood. But I think the Yankees have a more formidable lineup.
Do they? Because they lost to the Astros in the ALCS.
Oh, you going against me here?
Yeah, I'm saying to you, there's no guarantees.
Here.
I got you, but I don't agree with you. I don't think that it's over just because they spent a lot of money on a pitcher, because he was on the Astros and they didn't win, and the Yankees didn't get there either.
Potentially, the Yankees have the better lineup with everything they have.
Potentially, yep.
Forget it, you.
Do you think he was sober? Just a question. Forget me because I don't agree with you. All right. I'm hard to forget, though, Jimmy. I'll tell you that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
I love Scott.
The Yankees certainly are working on beefing up their lineup. And I think back to the ALCS, and it wasn't the pitching, actually, that turned out to be their downfall. It was really more of a war of attrition, and which of the teams, Astros or Yankees, would be able to come up with a big hit with runners in scoring position. And you remember it was the Yankees winning in Houston, and then it was the Astros coming back and winning in the Bronx, and it was a weird series. But again, it wasn't about the pitching. It was about the fact that the two teams, both of them, were a bit anemic at the plate with runners on base. They couldn't come up with big hits. And then finally, you know, the Astros were able to close it out. But I don't know. I don't know what Gerrit Cole does for an encore. I mean, he set the bar pretty high. And this contract sets the bar pretty high. But at the same time, I'm excited to see it. Mostly because I love the fact that he's been a Yankees fan his entire life. Regardless of whatever team you root for, when you as a professional athlete have the opportunity to then go play for that team that you idolized as a kid, I think that's pretty cool. CeCe Sabathia was the guy 10 years ago who had the fat contract from the Yankees.
It's a huge deal. I just remember the first morning I woke up after, you know, I agreed to the deal and it was all over the place and it was just the biggest news. And I wasn't used to that. So, you know, I know today he's probably just like thinking like, man, what did I get myself into? You know what I'm saying? Like when you sign with the Yankees, especially with that amount of money, it's going to be a huge story.
CeCe Sabathia, yeah, 10 years ago, 10 plus years ago, he was the guy who had the record contract for a free agent pitcher with the Yankees, and he brought a lot to the table. But at the end of that contract, he, of course, I don't want to say he wasn't worth the money they were paying him, but they overpaid for a guy that missed a lot of time with injuries and that struggled toward the end of his career. But as I said to you on last night's show, if the Yankees win a World Series and Gerrit Cole plays a significant role, they've already seen the return on their investment. That's how big championships are, and that's what it means to a team like the Yankees that has those kind of expectations every single year. Aaron Boone weighed in on the Gerrit Cole signing. Plus, there's another investigation going on in professional sports. Maybe you've heard of it, Patriots. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, There's joy in every journey.